have Jesus, then men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear call. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name. The King of a vast domain,
sing that chorus again.
Than to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
One more time, let's sing that chorus with all of our heart.
Than to be the King of a vast domain, than anything this world affords today.
Amen. Sure good to be in service tonight. I'm thankful for another opportunity to be here to worship Him, to praise Him with people of like faith. I'm learning more and more to cherish these opportunities. Thankful for them. We've got a lot of prayer requests tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Terry if he'll come and pray over these, but we'll just go through each of these requests. Got a couple announcements we'll make in a minute. These are all requests. Susan Olive had an earache but wanted to come to the service. She's here tonight, so let's remember her. Remember Brother Burke Gravely and his wife, Sister Barbara. Both are in need of prayer, healing for their bodies. Jessica Gipple, she's having her third surgery for hernia repair. This surgery is very serious, takes 7 to 8 hours to complete. So let's remember her. Brother Joe Pascal and his wife Ruth from West Virginia, both are very sick with flu, real need a touch of their body. Also pray for Diana, their daughter, who's taking care of them. Sister Irene Pierce turns in a request for her husband, Mike Pierce. He went into outpatient surgery to have a dialysis graft put in his arm. Doctor said the procedure went well, but suddenly developed a severe allergic reaction to something that was used in the procedure. He had to be admitted into the hospital. Doctors are saying if this graft don't work, they're running out of places to put them because of bad veins. So she'd appreciate your prayers. Let's remember that. Brother Pat Madley asked us to pray for his nephew, Bradley Calhoun, 20 years old, dying with bone cancer. So very serious need. Pray for Brooklyn Kirkpatrick from Missouri. She's 5 years old, has a high temperature with the flu. Also for Margaret Carper from Ohio, who's very sick in body. Family of Sister Sherry Wiggins wants to thank the Lord. Sister Sherry came through surgery. No cancer was found in the lymph nodes. Continue to pray for a speedy recovery and that no chemo is needed. So thank the Lord for looking after her. Pray for Amber Sutherland. She has been having a lot of migraines. Pray for Betty Johnson Aiken, for condition of her body and soul. She's the mother of Brother Mike Johnson and Sister Judy Dyer. Family also praying for wisdom and decisions to be made about her care. So please pray for Deanna Glenn. She's homesick tonight. Continue to pray for a full recovery for Brother Dan Dyer. Had extensive surgery on his hand yesterday. Sister Rachel Estep would like for us to know that she loves us and misses us. She would be at church more if not for health issues. So just remember her. Sonia Babb's grandson, Lane Pugh, has to have tests run tomorrow for food allergies. Just pray everything comes back normal. Thank you for praying for Mac's brother-in-law, Harold Figgs. He passed away January 13th. The family in Delaware said he gave his heart to the Lord before he passed away. We thank the Lord for that. Continue to pray for his widow, Fran, and the family. Pray for my mother-in-law. She had a stroke. It's from Carter Lawson. For Sister Martha Ann Johnson, for flu, tonsillitis, ear infection, high fever. Philip Priest would like for us to pray for his Aunt Brenda. She has to have a high-risk and urgent operation. She has a blood clot behind her bowels. Doctor says it's high-risk, and the hospital that she is in doesn't normally do these types of operations. Please ask the Lord to be with her and the surgeons. Have the church to pray for Sister Christine Baker, who's having complications with her neck and back. Also an unspoken request from Brother and Sister Baker. Then Brother Bobby Hayton has a testimony. He wants to give praise for his recovery from a knee injury. The doctor said in 33 years he had not seen such a recovery from so severe an injury without surgery or medical intervention. God is a healer. Praise his name. So we appreciate that. And also I'm going to read a prayer request. This is an email, and the request is down here that we had Sunday morning, still on the bottom of the page. It says, please pray for my first cousin, Johnny Sturgill. He's in John City Medical Center with a collapsed lung, pneumonias, and the kidneys have stopped working. He's on a ventilator. That was turned in Sunday morning. The testimony in the middle of it here says, by Tuesday morning, he was sitting up in a chair talking. So that's something to praise the Lord for. They just said, I just want to give a praise report on my cousin, Johnny Sturgill. The church prayed for him on Sunday morning. Now, keep in mind, he'd been in the hospital for 5 days off and on the ventilator for four of those. By Tuesday morning, sitting up in a chair talking, his lung was fine. Pneumonia had cleared up. Kidneys were starting to work again. Off the ventilator, and want to give God all the glory. So let's stand tonight and Brother Terry take these knees to the Lord. Thank God for what he's doing.
There's only one man that I know that could remember all that. That's the man Christ Jesus. And certainly he knows every person, every detail, every name, every situation. He knows about it. He just asks one thing when we pray. He says, can you appropriate that faith? It's already finished, but can we believe? There's faith in the building tonight, so let's believe. Many requests, many needs, sickness, and so forth. So you pray as I pray. Want to put 1,000 flat, 2 10,000. So we believe that these needs will be met if you'll pray with me and believe with me. Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, as he said, it's just a great privilege to be back in the house of God. We cherish these times. It won't always be this way. This will be a fond memory sometime, and perhaps in the coming months, weeks, you know, certainly in the coming years. But Father, we want to first of all invite your presence. We don't want to get in a hurry. We always want to give time to singing, mostly for the word, but we want to take time to pray, and we want to believe as we pray. And Lord Jesus, a little something I was just thinking about a moment ago, Father, and that is perspective. And we think about perspective as just how people look at things. This message, Lord, to a real believer, an eagle, he sees this message as truth. To an unbeliever, he sees this message as just a buzzard would see it as not truth or untruth or false doctrine, whatever, Lord. And we know that when we look at you, you're the perfect one. And we know that you look at us through the blood of Jesus Christ. But how can we look at you being so perfect and really realize and really recognize and have a revelation of how much you really truly love us? Lord, if we could just really truly see ourselves as you see us, Lord, it would truly help us, Lord, to love you more. We ask, Lord, tonight as we bring these requests before you, there's many needs, probably 25 or 30, but you know each one of them. Many sick. Lord, even I remember Brother Dan's request, and there's several in here that just have sicknesses, and the one that we thank you for the testimony, the one that had the kidney failure and so forth, we thank you for that. You're still a healer. Lord, there's just so many things. We've heard many testimonies recently of the things that you have done, and I know Brother Gene Terrell, he's just burning with the testimony of what you did for his wife, Sister Jane, and we just thank you for these things, Lord. We know that all good and perfect gifts come from above, so we ask you to touch each one. And Lord, as we ask for your anointing tonight to be on the people, to hear the word of God, and upon Brother Donnie, I suppose, to be speaking tonight, anoint him to speak, and it will be spiritual food in due season. And give us, Lord, the liberty to be able to worship you and to praise you and to love you and forget about tomorrow, forget about yesterday. What if the rapture would come tonight? It's gonna be 6 and 9 somewhere around the world as we speak right now. What if it would be tonight? What a glorious thing. We don't have to go home for nothing. We would leave this place, Lord, and be in that sixth dimension. What a glorious desire, a glorious time, a glorious promise. Lord, I'm thankful that you give us a desire to love you. Would you come present tonight? Would you meet our needs? Lord, those that perhaps may be streaming, I pray that you would just be with them, encourage their hearts. May they sit in front of that computer screen and just reverence time to be in church where they are many miles away. They can't be here, but Lord, they can listen and they can hear and they can worship and sing and so forth. Bless them also. And Lord, those that are here physically in the building, may we truly take this opportunity to say, Lord Jesus, thank you for sending us a prophet. Thank you for sending the token. Thank you for saving us and filling us with the Holy Ghost. Thank you for being Lord and Master of my life. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You can be seated. Thanks, Brother Terry.
Well, I have stood for the gospel when it seemed I stood alone. Through the heartaches and frustration, I kept my focus on the throne. So many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true. If you won't be ashamed of me, then I won't be of you. And so I'll proudly stand until I see the face of the one who gave everything for me. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, and every battle that I fought will fade from memory, I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me.
Sing that song.
The road has not been easy, and at times I've lost my way. So often I've stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. When the whispering of doubt and fear told me you'd lose it all, but He kept me with His amazing grace. And someday soon I'll have a chance to thank Him face to face. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, and every battle that I fought will fade from memory, I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees. When the reason that I'm standing
From memory, I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me.
Let's sing the chorus again.
That I'm standing stands in front of me, and every battle that I fought will fade from memory. I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me.
Amen. Amen. If the brothers would like to come lift the offering this evening, there's going to be a trustees meeting immediately after the service in the men's nursery tonight. Also, we would like to welcome Brother Paul and Jerry Haylett from Idaho. He's a pastor of the church in Caldwell, Idaho. Where's our brother and sister at tonight? God bless y'all. Welcome. Let's sing. Let's sing Saved by Grace tonight.
Amen.
Gee,
well, I was alone in the darkness. I could not find my way. But Jesus shined the light on me. Turned on my night today. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. And when I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption's story of how He brought me to the other side. And when I reach that city, and the gates swing open wide, I'm gonna sing redemption's story of how He brought us to the other side. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Well, I was alone in the darkness, and I could not find my way. But Jesus shined a light on me, and He turned on my night today. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
Sing that second verse.
When I reach that city, oh, and the gates swing open wide, I'm gonna sing a redemption story of how He brought me to the other side. Yes, when I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'm gonna sing a redemption story of how He brought me to the other side. Saved by grace.
If you still need His grace.
I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
When I think about the Lord, gee, when I think about the Lord.
Amen. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, and how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout.
Hallelujah. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Amen. Let's stand tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and
bring the word to us. Let's sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, F.
Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Oh, turn your eyes.
Chapter 37, verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him." You wonder how they kept from breaking face and showing emotion and showing something that their father didn't pick up something there. He says, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him." Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloths upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down into the grave, Sheol, the place of the dead, unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight, Father, for your blessed word. Truly this gives us an insight into the lives of prophets, that you can use their lips to speak profound things that are just overwhelming. They can utter things that will be thousands of years and hundreds of years in the making. And yet at the same time, they can say things out of their mouths like all the rest of us human beings. I pray, Father, that you'd help us as we look into your word tonight, Lord. May we be benefited by our gathering together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. An evil beast hath devoured him. This would have been natural to conclude such a thing. The historians say actually that they had sent their servants, the brothers had, with Joseph's coat ahead of them. And then they come following. They want the ice to be broken, so to speak. So they come and they find their father weeping, crying, lamenting, mourning. And we know the reason that the brothers have done this is because they hated Joseph. Part of it was because he was spiritual. Part of it was because he was his father's pick. And the Bible tells us that Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his sons because he was the son of his old age. Yet, it was not Joseph's fault that he was his father's favorite. Amen. But it's amazing how that people will take this. A child that is raised among siblings many times and they know they're not the favored one, they will not just point their vengeance or their anger toward the sibling, but sometimes it's toward the sibling, sometimes it's toward the parents, sometimes it turns inward toward themselves, depending on the individual, how they will react and how they'll take it. But these brothers, it builds up so much in them, and they build this hatred. And may I say to you that they were not justified. They were not justified to hate Joseph because their father loved him better. I want you to mark down these reasons, because I'm going to give you all the reasons that Holy Ghost-filled Christians have to hate. Reason one. Reason two. Reason three. Reason four. I have 9,373,582 reasons, and they're all with the same answer. Total silence. A Holy Ghost-filled child of God has no reason to hate anyone. God so loved the world, and if you're of God, you have the capability of loving too. Come on now. Hatred is a terrible thing, friends. It is an absolute terrible thing. And when you get hatred in your heart and envy and strife in your heart, I'll tell you one thing, and you get toward this person, that person, whoever it is, it's like you drinking poison and expecting them to die. I'll tell you who's going to die. You're going to be the one that's going to die when you get your heart full of bitterness. Now, and was it right the way that Jacob preferred Joseph above the others? It was not. But now look at what they have done. They've now come and they've sold their brother into slavery. And now because of that sin, as one sin will always lead to another, so now they've got to cover up that sin. Because they can't be honest and go to their daddy and say, you know what, we made a bad mistake and we, you know, now we're going after the camel train and we're going to try to find him. So one sin required another sin, which will require another one. So now they've got to cover up. So we see then that Jacob is now being deceived by the blood of a goat. Amen. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? So Jacob had deceived his father by taking a goat and doing something in a similar manner. So now he's being deceived. So they're guilty of selling their brother, guilty first of hating him, and then guilty of selling him, and then guilty of fabricating a death which seems natural for the setting where they're in. They're out there among the wild beasts and all of that. So in their mind, they begin to think evil. Isn't it amazing how the human mind can be able to come up with such things? But it looks believable, totally believable. So they do this in such a way, no doubt they found many sheep and goats that was torn by an animal. And now remember that Jacob himself was a shepherd, and you're going to bring this to a shepherd himself, you better know what you're doing. If you're going to fabricate this, you better know exactly what you're doing. He's going to pick it up just like that. But him being a shepherd, they were also shepherds. So they knew how to fabricate this as if though an animal had tore him and ripped him. They was able to put the blood, whether it would be splatters or where it would be splotches, in order to make it look like he had bled from the inside out and also bled from the outside. So you imagine, I mean, these guys really had some help from demons. I'll tell you one thing, when you and I go working in deceit, it ain't the Holy Ghost that helps us, it's devils. It ain't the Holy Ghost that helps us fabricate lies and try to deceive people, it is demons out of hell. Y'all gonna preach to them, you're gonna look at it. Now, I want you to think now, as they move into this, no doubt they begin to realize we're so far in it now, we've got to keep on going. So they go through with it, and then they send Joseph's coat, and now they themselves come, and they come up to Jacob, and my, he is absolutely tore to pieces. Watch, as the scripture says in verse 33, and he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Now this is from the eyes of a shepherd himself. So they have done this so cunningly. Now I want you to think how deceitful these boys are. And look at what hatred done. Yeah.
Now, was this the true attitude, even though they were not loved as Joseph was, they were not favored as Joseph was, is this the righteous attitude to have? Is this the correct attitude to have? Okay, well, Joseph was the most favored one, so we're going to get him. And not only are we going to get him, we're going to get Daddy too. We're going to make Daddy pay. Just remember, when you do that, you're anointed of the devil. Oh, Brother Donnie, you don't know what it's like to be raised in a family and you're not the favored sibling. I beg to differ with you. I do know what it's like. First-handed. But see, let me share something with you folks tonight that most of you don't know. I refuse to let people control me. So if somebody does something to me and it causes me to hate them, they are controlling my emotion. And none of you are going to control me. None of these people on YouTube, none of these folks that have left the message, because if they make me hate them, they are controlling me. None of you are going to control me. No backsliders, no devils. No, I refuse to be controlled by people. Come on, saints. When you get into a big argument, a big this, that, and the other, constantly trying to defend yourself, you are allowing other people to control you. You let people pout on you and it makes you mad and this and that and the other. You are allowing them. Oh, I hit a sore spot, didn't I? The whole church shut down on me. I guess the internet did too, didn't it? Well, that's quite all right. It's the truth anyway. Now you look and see what these brothers are all doing. It was not Joseph that was asking to be the favored one, but it was actually their father that was doing it. But they were allowing this situation to control them. So this situation has now grown to where they now actually hate Joseph. It was not Joseph himself, but they hate Joseph. And now they look and they've got this attitude toward their father, knowing that if we do this toward Joseph, can we imagine what this is going to do to our daddy? Oh, well, he deserves it. He shouldn't have treated him that way. It's not right. Well, why do we care? Now, no, notice. Now, this situation is now controlling them. So they are not in control of their hate. They're not in control of their passions. But their passions and their hate is being controlled by a circumstance which is beyond even the innocent party's control. It wasn't even Joseph's fault that he was the one loved. Now, they think they are in charge. Sure you do. Satan knows how to bait a trap for me and you, to pull us into it, to make us think we're in charge. But whenever you are being under the influence of other people and their mouths and their attitude and their Facebook posts and this and that and the other, they are controlling you, not the other way around. You see, when you read something and then your human anger gets all bent out of shape, or somebody walks up to you after church and don't shake your hand or whatever, and you get all mad and, boy, I'll tell you one thing, I'm in control. You are not. You are being controlled by them. And that's why it bothers you. And that's why Satan will have them same people to do it over and over again, because he knows it gets you out of control. But it will only bother you as long as you let it. And if you get victory over that, you'll find that thing no longer bothers you, and the devil will use something else. But that's good, because I like to wear him out. I like for him to try this, and I defeat him. I like for him to try something else, and I defeat him in that. And I like to just keep him buzzing, don't you? I like to keep this old devil running around like a dog chasing his tail, that he don't know which way's up and which way's down. He said, what in the world's the matter of that boy? I got the Holy Ghost, that's what. I said, I got the Holy Ghost, I'm born again. Here their father. If their father truly believed that Joseph was the heir to the tribe, and he had revelation that he was to be the one to follow him, this coat would have meant nothing. All of a sudden, whatever he felt about Joseph, it's all undermined and gone. Totally collapsed. And no doubt he had some sort of inclination that Joseph was the chosen one. But now look at that. Every bit of it is gone. Joseph is dead. He's killed by a beast. I'll go down to my grave weeping for my son. The whole plan of God is destroyed. Well, praise the Lord.
But I want you to notice now who's doing this. Verse 34, and Jacob rent his clothes. You see, we're not watching the prince now. We're watching Jacob again. It wasn't the prince, Israel, that found power with God to prevail. Israel would have said, you boys are lying to me. There's something wrong about this. Well, you go to get them in a corner, one of them would have squealed. Oh, daddy, daddy, I'll be the one to tell you, daddy. But you know what he done? He relies on Jacob. Oh, I wish somebody'd hear me to that. Don't you understand, friends? You are part Israel and you are part Jacob. And that's why we can get all bent out of shape. Oh, God, oh, God. Oh, the world's falling in. Oh, my, what in the world's going on? No little red hen, it ain't going to fall in. If you can just take your stand, you are Israel. You are not Jacob. You are not. The deceiver can be deceived. But Israel was not a deceiver and Israel cannot be deceived. Your flesh can be deceived. Your spirit can be deceived. But your soul is the Word and it cannot be deceived. So Jacob, right here's where they start, right at the very collar. And they tear their garment. Jacob rent his clothes as an expression of his grief and anguish and sorrow.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And he put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. Actually, this word days is the same word equivalent to years. So he didn't mourn a few days. This is the beginning of 22 years of mourning. Now you wonder if he hadn't been kind of warped in his love. If it hadn't kind of been one-sided, if God wouldn't have dealt with him and let him know something that was going on. I know it may be hard for you to understand, but there is a love that is a very selfish love. Many times when people have a favorite child, even sometimes a favorite preacher, a favorite this or that, that favorite is more than just that person helps them more. Somehow it's identified with them in their self. And it either favors them, it flatters them, it does something to them. So they favor that individual, not just per se because of that individual, but because there is an affinity from that individual to themselves. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. That Jacob, as he goes into this, and remember, Isaac was alive when this happens. As a matter of fact, Isaac lives 12 more years after Joseph is in the land of Egypt. Notice in verse 35, all of his sons and all of his daughters rose up to comfort him. Wow. All these hypocrites. Now they're the very ones to do it. Now they got to put on their crocodile tears and they got to drag out their hypocritical hankies. Oh my Lord. Oh my Lord. Oh my Lord. But you know what? They must have been pretty persuasive because Jacob never picked up nothing. So they all, daddy, daddy, what are we going to do? Oh, little Joseph, we loved him so much. He was your favorite, daddy, and he was our favorite, too. Oh, woe is us. Woe is us. And his daughters came to comfort him as well, which, of course, was his daughter-in-law since he only had one daughter. But I want you to notice now what selfish love does. All his sons and all of his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. Now this is delicate here. Mourning for a loved one, a friend, a departed one out of our life. If we don't mourn and don't, you know, have some sort of feeling of loss, makes you wonder if you even loved and cared for him in the first place. But there's such a delicate balance in understanding that people themselves can inflict more loss on themselves by refusing God-given comfort.
Now watch what Jacob has done. And this is what makes you wonder about the type of love that he had for Joseph, because the love that he had, and whenever Joseph is taken from him, the love that he has so warps his perception, even of being able to receive comfort, that it's not natural. So he so holds to this loss that no matter how much those that loved him and cared for him tried to comfort him, that he would not be comforted. He refused all comfort. Don't talk to me about it. I don't want you to come. Stay away from me. You don't understand what I'm feeling. There's something wrong with that kind of mourning. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Now watch, the Bible says he refused to be comforted. Now, whether or not you understand, friend, he actually sins more grievously now. Because what he's doing, he is opening the wounds that are already deeply enough inflicted by sons. He's opening that so much, his mindset is, I will never get over this. Do you hear me, God? Do you hear me, my family? Do you hear me, my church? Don't even talk to me. Don't try to get me out of it. I'm telling you now, I am resolved. I'll never get over this. That is sin.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Well said. Oh, my. Why? He is voluntarily committing the rest of his life to indulge in this grief. Do we ever get over a loved one parting? Absolutely not. I know what it's like to lose a mother. I know what it's like to lose a father. I know what it's like to bury many, many people. I've buried many people from this assembly here. Many sheep. I can remember every one of them. I think about every one of them from time to time. If I got over their passing, no. Will I ever get over it? No. But am I going to sit around, oh God, my life is ruined. I'm not going to do that, because we must go on. And when we refuse to go on, we are letting the devil rob us from the furtherance of our lives. Oh my. Notice now, all of his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Now notice what he's doing. He's breaking the natural law of life. The natural cycle of life is that we're born, we live, and we die. We're born, we live, and we die. But here he is refusing the natural cycle of life. This is part of the way life goes. That your loved ones pass and you mourn and you ache and you lament. But in time, if you will allow God, God will help you to where that wound is not near as big as it was. And that open place in your heart, little by little, he begins to seam it together with memories and this and that and the other, and you're able to deal with it better. But his mind is made up. Don't send me no sympathy card. Don't send me no sympathy text. Keep your sympathy text. I will never get over this. Boy, the devil loves to hear that kind of profession. I can tell you that right now. Oh, my. Look at him now. Boy, he says, I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Jacob, your son ain't in the grave. Now wait a minute, this is a prophet of God. Praise the Lord. You mean prophets of God can say things and believe the wrong things? As a matter of fact, we have two prophets here on the scene. We have Isaac and we have Jacob both. And both of them believe the wrong thing. Isaac believes the wrong thing for 12 years and Jacob believes the wrong thing for 22 years. Some of y'all left the message then. Now notice how the scripture says this. I will go down unto the grave, unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Now notice how Isaac is so moved. This portion of the scripture is speaking of Isaac. Thus his father, Jacob's father wept for Jacob. Jacob is so mourning and so crying, and he's so broke to pieces that Isaac is so moved that thus his father weeps for him. So you're both of them now are crying, two prophets of God, crying over something that isn't even true. Torn to pieces over something that has not even happened.
And God keeps total silence. Whew. Now we remember the rest of the portion, this portion of the story. How the Jacob's sons are sent down to Egypt to buy corn. But let's go through this part and we'll skip over it. Let's go to chapter 45, verse 25. They went up out of Egypt. Now this is after the second trip. And came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob, their father. And told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. And he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted. The King James rendering there, the literal rendering of this in the Hebrew is, his heart grew cold or numb. It's like he had a mild heart attack. Whenever he hears these words, he is so overwhelmed that he goes into the shock, trauma. Glory. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believes them not. Why? He's uncommitted. I ain't quitting crying. I ain't quitting being depressed. I don't care how much you tell me, I'm going to be depressed the rest of my life. I ain't looking for victory. I ain't looking for a reason to shout. I'm looking for a reason to cry. I ain't looking for a reason to smile. I'm looking for a reason to smack somebody in the mouth. That's about the attitude he developed. So he's overwhelmed. Everything around him is negative, 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 negative. If he would have had a revelation, he'd said, I knew it all along. I knew my boy wasn't dead. But he is so pulled into this negative thing that when he hears news from another country. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons. Now let me just take a few minutes and break off here to one side and speak to you on the wagons. I can imagine him sitting there. It'd been several days now. This is the second trip. Because the master of Egypt had made the demand, he had to let Benjamin, his youngest son, go on this trip to prove that his sons were not spies. Every day seemed like it would never end because he's living in this world of darkness and fear. He's so afraid Benjamin will not return. There was a famine in the land, so just about everything had dried up. So when famine was going on, the cattle had no place to feed. The sheep had no place to feed. You know how it is when it gets in this type of a place, everything becomes abnormal. They go through a bawling state where they bawl and bawl and bawl and they get so hungry, they quit. So a deathly silence begins to move over the famine-stricken land. But you imagine, as he's sitting out there, they of course had dark colored tents because it would help reflect the heat of the sun. They would have a little porch type of area on the front and they'd move around according to where the sun was at. But you imagine him as he's sitting out there in the shade, thinking, praying. Oh, Jehovah, be merciful. Jehovah, have mercy on me. And he began to hear a noise. It's a noise that he had never quite heard anything like before. He had heard camel trains, he had heard cattle, he had heard sheep. But it sounded sort of like wagons. But what in the world would wagons be doing coming this way? Amen. But as this moves closer, the sound moves closer, and all of a sudden over the top of the dunes there he sees a little bit of the dust as it's rising.
And the noise is getting closer and closer, and the dust is coming with him. And he's sitting there peering out through. And remember, he's old, so his eyes are somewhat, because of the sand blowing and all that, very, very hard on their eyes. And he's not really sure what it is. But as he begins to look and he can hear, it's his boys. His boys left walking, but they're coming back riding. Hallelujah. You imagine as his eyes begin to look down through there and say, ain't that Simeon? Ain't that Reuben? And isn't that Issachar and Naphtali? And they're screaming something. He can hardly make it out because of the hoofs of the horses and the wagon wheels as they're coming together. But as they begin to get closer, he can make it out. And they're saying, Joseph is alive. Joseph is alive. And he's sitting there saying, oh my God. Oh my Lord, it's my boys. Oh no, it can't be. It can't be. And as they come closer and he sees, and he looks and his heart is overwhelmed. Boys, what is wrong? What have you done? The last time you went, you come back and had the money in the mouths of your sacks. Now you're driving Egyptian wagons. What have you boys done this time? He didn't realize the king had sent the wagons. Whoa, hallelujah! The king had sent the wagons. Oh, glory. Imagine as his boys begin to jump down off the wagon and say, Daddy, Joseph is alive. Yes. And whenever he hears it clearly, he says, can this be? How can this be? He grabs his heart. And he starts into a slight cardiac arrest. Oh, Daddy, Daddy. He said, I can't believe it. So they hear the words. He hears the words that they say. And the words themselves didn't do it. But when he saw the wagons, he said, it must be the truth. Oh, children, I wish that God would help us to realize when he sends us wagon loads of mercy and wagon loads of grace and wagon loads of ministry. Don't you understand what that is? It is to build your faith and confidence in the King that the wagons are coming. Hallelujah! The wagons are coming! They told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. The same Holy Ghost that anoints preachers to tell you what God has got on his heart is the same Holy Ghost that's going to back you home. Don't you understand sermons and all this? Don't you understand what it is? It's wagon loads of the blessings of God. And it's the same thing, Brother Dow, that one day is going to turn right back. Them wagons brought corn. They brought meat. They brought changes of clothes. Hallelujah. They brought raiment. They brought all kinds of things. You're living out there as a pauper. That the same wagon that brought the meat is going to take you back home. Let me say, the same Holy Ghost that brings us messages and heals our bodies when we are sick is the same wagon that's going to turn around and pack us out of here one day. Hallelujah to God. The wagons are coming. So he heard the words, and the words, oh Lord, oh. But when he saw the wagons. Now these wagons are from the greatest known ruler on the earth at this time. Pharaoh, king of Egypt. No doubt they had special insignia. The harnesses had special kingdom representation. The horses, their brands were kingdom brands. The wheels were kingdom wheels. The wagons had kingdom insignia on the side, and they brought kingdom beans and kingdom meat and kingdom taters and kingdom clothes. Hallelujah. while. These folks are about to die over here. Let me tell you, the world out here is nothing but just a famine-stricken mess. There's trouble everywhere. There's heartaches everywhere. But I hear the sound of the wagon wheels. Oh, glory! The same wagons that bring us food to help us when we're down. The same wagons that bring the anointing of the Holy Ghost and gives us a good drink of water. One day is going to turn and take us back to the King. Not the King of Egypt, the King of eternity. The wagons are coming. Isn't it amazing? It wasn't the words alone of Joseph that brought the revival to Jacob. But it was when he saw the wagons. The wagons brought revival. And when he saw the wagons, which Joseph. Jonah, don't you understand when God places sermons on preachers' hearts? Don't you understand what that is?
Yes, sir.
Your Joseph is sending a sermon, puts it on the wheels, and it comes down by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And maybe you're down or distraught or going through whatever more, and delivers it right to your door. And you say, how in the world did he know that? He didn't know it, but he knew it. What was it? A fresh wagon load of meat and clothing and things that you had on a garment of heaven. They didn't just bring food, but they brought clothes. They're fixing to go in the presence of the King. They needed to have a change of garments. Hallelujah. This same Holy Ghost that's making us line up to the Word and quit doing this and quit doing that. One of these days, that same Holy Ghost will make me quit being immortal. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just make you quit smoking. It don't just make you quit drinking, but one day it will make you quit being immortal. It will force you into immortality. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What is it? The wagons are coming. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, can't you see how folks can turn away from this word? They don't look at the wagons the way you do. We look at this as our way back home. The spirit of Jacob revived. So the wagons were further evidence of the truth with wheels on them. Now Joseph's words were wonderful. But you imagine now if he would have come down through that with words only. He knew these boys. So he said, don't you just go down there with my words. I want you to take a living, moving apparatus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I want you taking an insignia of the kingdom of God. What do you think when you look around us and see people being healed and delivered and miracles? What do you think that is? Do you think Donnie Reagan or some of these preachers can do it? It's wagons from the King. Only God can raise the dead and heal the sick and all that sort of thing. What? It is wagons. It is the evidence of His presence. He don't just give us the word from our Joseph, but He sends wagon loads of blessings. No. Glory. Joseph is alive. Joseph is alive. Oh, oh. And then when the wagons pull up, he said, oh. So that's not just word, but that's power. Because there had to be a beast power pulling them wagons. The same camel that Rebecca watered that day was the same power that took her to her bridegroom. Brother, sister, that is why we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the power of the living God in our church and in our lives. It wasn't the word only of Joseph that was going to carry Jacob back to the king. So whenever he looks, these wagons didn't have Joseph's picture on it. They didn't look like Joseph. They didn't act like Joseph. They didn't talk like Joseph. But somehow Jacob knew they was from Joseph. Glory. Are you able to recognize when a gift from the king comes among you? When a sermon, when an anointed presence of God comes among us, are we able to recognize it's the Lord Jesus? There was no insignia. Joseph did not hand sign all of those wagons. But whenever Jacob looked and saw the wagons, he knew. He knew. Why? It had the vindication of the kingdom where it came from. Come on, children. Oh, Brother Donnie, I'm so scared I'm going to be deceived. What? You cannot deceive the elected. They are the word. Oh, but there's all kinds of people doing signs and wonders. Sure they are. But the elected comes right back to the scripture. And knows the Holy Ghost will never leave that word. What is it? It's the insignia of the kingdom that the wagons come from. You look at a man that's having healing campaigns and this and that and the other and see what kind of life he tells you to live. And that'll tell you the brand of the wagon he's pulling from. He's pulling a denominational wagon. It'll pull you right into hell too. But if it's got the power of the living God and goes right back to that word, it's from the king. You imagine as he finally gets calmed down a little bit. He says, sons, what? Is it true?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Daddy. Now we come to this part of explanation.
Yes, sir.
Okay, if he's alive, you boys told me he was dead. So if you've been raised in a sibling, bunch of siblings in your family, you've not been the favorite one and you've not been loved, why don't you take the high road? Instead of trying to get even and take vengeance and hate and hate and hate, take the road of Jesus. Love, forgive, and never mention it again.
Amen.
You see, now I broke beyond the billions of humanity and I broke down to the tithing of the earth. We pay tithes, but God don't ask us to do anything that he don't do himself. God pays tithes. And God paid the tithing of his elect upon the earth among redemption, upon the redemption of humanity, and it'll be those that'll come out of all the collection of the people that live on the earth that become in the house of God. Everybody can't forgive. Everybody cannot portray this kind of love. It just ain't in them. It's in them to hate. It's in them to get even. You know why? They're not boarding the wagons. Can you imagine how these boys must have felt whenever they looked at Joseph and Joseph had the power to annihilate him? But what did he do? He stretched out his arm and said, my brothers, I'm Joseph. I'm alive. I'm alive. You sought to do me evil, but God turned it around to good. And God has sent me here before you. Did he hate him and despise him? No.
Amen.
Oh, you imagine his finally. He gets calmed down and settled. It's okay, Dad. It's okay. Oh, Joseph. Are you ready, Daddy? I'm ready. I've eaten beans, maters, taters, corn off them wagons. I've gone on a new change of clothes off them wagons. I'm ready. The wagons had brought something down, and it's bringing that something now veiled back. So it brought corn and foodstuffs in bags. Now it's going back veiled in humanity. The Holy Ghost sends sermons and sends books and sends tapes. All thanks be to God. Wagon load, tape load, however you want to say it. Wagon load after wagon load. But notice what the wagon is pulling back. The wagon ain't pulling back tape loads after tape loads of books and tapes and Bibles. But the wagons are taking back that word that was consumed in human beings. It's pulling back. Hallelujah. So here come the corn back in Jacob. Here come the meat back in Jacob. Here come those empty clothes now on Jacob's back. Why? Because the word had been made flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What do you think the rapture wagons are going to take home? That word manifested. So here they are, look like on the brink of starvation. Maybe just a few days from perishing. Don't see any hope whatsoever. But the wagons. The wagons not only brought them natural sustenance, but the wagons come to get them. That's what I'm waiting for. I've got all confidence in this Holy Ghost that I have. I got all confidence. He's the one feeding us His Word and giving us these things. I'm waiting on the return trip. I may have to come to the place where Jacob did that. I become so overwhelmed. My heart just fails me, so to speak. And you know, I got to go into that change, as it were. But whenever I get all calmed down and settled down and I climb up, they finally coax me up into the buckboard and I sit down and say, whew, I made it. I made it. Oh. Hallelujah. The king's wagons have come to tell us our Joseph is alive. He still heals. The king's wagons come to bring news as well as food. And the gospel is the good news. So the king, what good would have done Joseph to send the wagons with no men on top of them? Let's just send the wagons down with the horses and a bunch of corn, and let's just send a bunch of tapes or whatever more. And we won't need no preachers. You got to have preachers on there. Tell them what it's all about. So here come them wagons, and it was his boys operating them, and here they come with the good news. And the good news is, this is for you. And the good news is, Jesus is not dead, but He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That He is still, Hebrews 13:8, and that pillar of fire is still among the bride, anointing her, giving her strength. Don't you understand, children? That night up there at Bethlehem, about midnight, then shepherds were woke up by the sound of the wagon wheels. When the angel said unto you, is born this day in the city of David a Savior. What was it? The wagons was coming. Lord Jesus. Notice this in verse 27. And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he had saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Now the king had given an order. Pick up Jacob. And set him in the wagon. And bring him back to me. Are you going to defy Pharaoh's laws? If you were, you know, somebody of that time frame, I doubt it. Are you going to defy God's laws, death? Are you going to defy God's law of cancer, TB, whatever you are, when God sent this message of Malachi 4 down here in the end time, not only as bread and food and to change our clothes and strip the world off of us and make us look decent, when that same message says, now bring my children back to me on them same wagons? Tell me how death will ever stand in our way. Tell me how old age and our teeth falling out and gray hair and whatever more. How in the world will that ever stop us? It will not stop us. And these men were able to pick that old shaken, decrepit man up and set him up on that wagon. Hallelujah! With his belly fed from the message about Joseph. I'll tell you one thing, friend. When the rapture comes, this bride ain't going to be starving to death. She's going to be healthy and well and fat and well fed. Glory to God. She's going to be ready for a change. So here they come. They come from Egypt. Down here towards Jacob's. They come around the tents and they make a circle like this. And you shake it just like, kingdom insignia, kingdom insignia, kingdom insignia. Wagon loads full of evidences. That's why I'm not going to waste my time trying to prove this message to a bunch of people that don't understand wagon talk. You got to understand how wagons talk. They can be plumb full of stuff, but if you don't understand wagon talk, you know what I'm saying? Then it just don't make no sense to you. But here's that Jacob wagon after wagon after wagon. Remember, there's 82 people that's fixing to leave this place. And they need a bunch of wagons. And they need a bunch of food. And they all need changes of clothes. So it must have been a wagon train. Wagon after wagon after wagon of food and things from the goodness of God. And the wagon stood a circling around the camp. The camp that just this morning looked like it was fixing to be wiped out. No doubt it'll be that way in Psalms 27 as that rapture comes and the darkness begins to come against the people of God. But don't worry, the wagons will rally around the camp. Hallelujah. Don't you see, friends? The king's wagons will take us to see our loved ones. It had been 22 years since Jacob had seen Joseph. But the wagons means reuniting again with our loved ones. Oh, the joy of meeting our brother Joseph. Jesus. Can you imagine meeting our brother Joseph? Jesus, I'm talking about our mamas, our daddies, our loved ones. What'll take us back? The wagons. The wagons from the king. Oh my. Here we go. We start out on our journey, my, through this power of the Holy Ghost and many dangerous toils and snares have already come. And we come up through the brink of Jordan and we cross over. Oh, it'll deliver us on the other side. And them standing over there, you imagine as they scream out, the wagons are here. The wagons are here. Well, let me tell you tonight, the wagons are here. The wagons are here. And they're getting people ready to leave this world. Are you ready? The wagons are here. Hallelujah. The wagons are here. Oh, may we be revived as we see the king's wagons come among us service after service. May we be revived as he sends something our way. We sit down and read our Bible and a little inspiration falls down and on and oh, just the Holy Ghost comes and ministers to you. That's part of his wagon too. Notice in verse 27, they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Very next verse. And Israel said, here we go. Here we go. It ain't Jacob riding them wagons back home. It's Israel. Don't you understand? You will lead your body to an Israel change. It won't be Jacob that'll go in that rapture. It will be your Israel from the soul that will lead your body to an Israel. here he sat all these years as Jacob, lamenting and crying, depressed and sad. But the wagons from Joseph brought a revival. So after his eyes saw the wagons, Israel woke up. And Israel said, it is enough. What about it, Israel? Is it enough? Is this Bible, is this message of the hour, God called me in your baptism of the Holy Ghost, is it enough to keep you in this age? Is it enough to give you a godly life? Is it enough to get you out of this world? I say it is enough. Look what it does. It revives that nature. Here Israel has been slumbering. And my, we go through these times. And we children, will we need a revival? It ain't going to be some preacher necessarily. It ain't going to be this and other, but it'll be the wagons. God will use preachers. God uses all kinds of things. Notice what happens to him. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. His old character revives. Israel stretches out under revival. The grief of 22 years under Jacob is now gone. Israel once again comes to the forefront. He always was there. We get discouraged with ourselves and maybe get discouraged with one another, but you know what? God's able to look at real children of Israel and know that they're still Israel even when Jacob is doing the talking. They know they're still Israel. They know God has already met them. They have met God. God's already named them. But God also knows they've got this right there left. And God knows Israel is down. When you're mad, I think I'll quit. I don't think I'll go back. I think God said, shut up. That's just Jacob talking. I'm going to send you a whole wagon load on Wednesday night. You're going to get so much you're going to haul it home in three tractors and trailers. And when you do, you'll see the insignia of the king on the horse head. You'll see the insignia of the king. And you'll have a revival set right there in the church. And you walk in as Jacob and you'll walk out as Israel. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why? The wagons came. The wagons came and brought you a load from heaven. Genesis 46:1, let's stand together. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father, Isaac. God sent him just a little stirring right before the change. Just a little refilling, if you want to call it that, or whatever term you... Glory to God. Hallelujah. God didn't disown him. God didn't throw him in the trash heap. God, well, how in the world could I ever do this? And no, no. God sent him some wagons. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Look, children, whatever you need. Sometimes God may send you a wagon of rebuke or a wagon of this, that, other, but keep in mind, he knows what you need in that wagon. But don't worry, little children. When it comes time before you need it, these same wagons that's brought you this food and sustenance for all these years, it'll be able to bring you the power to change you. And it may set us back, as it were. But then whenever we look and see the insignia of the king, we'll know it is enough. It is enough. So we'll feed on this opening of the seven seals. And other folks want to trash it. Fine, that leaves more for me to eat on. They want to call it a false prophet and a liar and a devil. Let them say whatever they want to say. Until they can do more than he did, I'll stick with this. Praise the Lord. I see what these wagon loads of that's done for me. Look at their wagon loads and see what it's doing for them. They're hooked up to another power, all right. Look and see what they're feeding on, what kind of people it's turning them into. If that's what you want, go ahead and unhook from here, because I'm not going that way. I'm not going toward bitterness and hate and all that sort of thing. I'm going toward heaven. My Joseph has sent me a wagon load to let me know he's alive. Amen. He is alive. And when the time comes and them wagons circle my tent's going to climb up on top of that wagon and I'm heading back to the king. Glory. Glory. Well, I can hear from the church age book. She says those gigantic gates of pearl have already been hung. Streets of gold have already been laid. This great city and its beautiful, beautiful mystery. It's already. And that was in 1965. It's only awaiting its inhabitants as the angels stand there breathlessly waiting. And no doubt they won't say quite like this, but in a similitude to where you'll understand. Whenever the rapture is called and consummated, and the elect start moving. And if you're there, your theophany will leave and you'll come to the earth and call your body. What's happening? The wheels is moving on the wagon. And if you're here alive, you'll climb up on the wagon and take the body to meet the theophany. The same Holy Ghost that lifted you up, the same Holy Ghost that sealed you. It'll be the very same thing. Once he gave you the Holy Ghost and sealed your soul, it is yours for eternity. That same wagon, you climb right up on it and you look in your soul and you look on that wagon, same seal. Same kingdom identification. And then we can look back and say, it is enough. It is enough. The power that changed me, the power that saved me, the power that delivered me, it is enough to go ahead and change my body. Let's pray together. Oh, Jesus. Lord, since I found this a couple of weeks ago, I've been so longing to bring it to the church. I just felt like it'd be a blessing and a help. As I sat down there last week, Lord, studying it, and Carol there reading her Bible, I just got so tore up and I started just breaking down and crying. She said, what is it? I said, just this, I'm studying. I started sharing a little bit with her. I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for sending the wagons to us, Jesus. You know when we need them. Lord, and they come in succession. One may have meat, one may have vegetables, one may this, that, the other. But we want to receive them according to your great wisdom, Lord. Then, Father, one day they'll circle our tents and they'll start back to where they come from. Lord, may there not be a person here that'll not be on board when they head back toward home. Many have jumped ship. Many have left. The lights of the city are close now. It's no time to go cold and different, yet many are. We can see the lights of home. And why they'd want to stop now is more than I can understand. But Lord Jesus, I pray you'd help me. Help me to stay on board. Help me to eat the sustenance that you provided. The change of garments that I'll need to stand before the king. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you say tonight, Lord, that's my desire. Just raise your hand to him. We've got a couple of children that's going to be baptized tonight if they'll come. And the brothers will come and prepare for that. Let me just offer a word of prayer for you, if you would, with your head bowed. Children, there's nothing in this world worth losing your passage on that great train of God heading back home. There's nothing in this world. You could be the richest person in the world, the most famous, the most beautiful, the most handsome, whatever more. What would that be worth to forfeit your right of passage on the wagons back to the king's house? Nothing. Nothing. So let's lay aside everything. But remember, those wagons only come to Jacob's tent. There was all kinds of people that live it out through there everywhere.
But them wagons were sent to a certain place. And if you wasn't in that place, you didn't leave on the wagons. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, you saw the hands of the people that were uplifted here tonight, Lord. Oh, Jesus, no doubt Jacob and his group were laughed at and made fun of and ridiculed. But yet, Lord, when the wagons come, it must have been the talk of the country. It was the only place in all the land of Palestine that received the king's wagons. Glory. And word from his right-hand man. So, Lord, let folks laugh at us. Let them call us a cult. Let them call us whatever they want. But one day when the wagons come through, we'll be glad we pitched our tent under the awning of Malachi 4. I gladly bear the reproach of the word now, Lord. I'm glad to hang my shield in the armory of great men. I'm glad to hang my shield and my sword in the tower by your prophet Elijah. I'm proud to hang my shield here, dear Lord. Help these people tonight, Father. Lord, may you bring a wagon load of encouragement and strength and healing, deliverance. Would you grant it tonight, Lord? We're so needy of you, Father. Pass by our way tonight, Lord. Pass by our way. Bring those things that we have need of. Bring a message of good news that you're alive. But let us see the wheels of the power of the Holy Ghost turning among us, which is more than words. It's words and manifestation. So the horses and the harnesses and the wagons were Joseph's words in manifestation. Hallelujah. Mark 16 in action. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just worship him a little bit now, church. Oh, hallelujah.
See the lights them gathering all around the great white throne. Through faith in my Savior and His wonder. Sometimes when I'm burdened and my cross seems hard to bear, and old Satan tries to dim my view, I just look unto Jesus, He's always standing close by, and once again His great light shines through. Oh, I can almost see the light of that city. I see them gathering all around the great white throne. Through faith in my Savior and His wonder.
This evening, so it's just a sign if the wagons come by. Let's just bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this soul that stands here, Lord, in this water. Lord, we ask that You would just come, Lord, and Lord, that You would just cap this life off, knowing, Lord, this is a work showing, Lord, that something on the inside has been done, and it's an outward testimony. Lord, I ask that You would just come and fill him, Lord. May his life be used by You. Lord, we pray that You would just come, Lord, and may You just build a hedge around his life, Lord. It could be a service of life unto You. We ask these things upon him now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Andrew Carroll, mm-hmm. I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This is my Leah Beth Parker. She's the baby of the bunch of my girls. And me and her mama, the way she's natured, for a while we were worried that she wouldn't see the importance of repenting because we couldn't really find anything she does wrong too much. But she really is a sweetheart. But the other day she come back to my room and she asked for, when the girls want to talk to me, when not letting any other girls be around, they asked for a privacy. So she said, Daddy, I want to have a privacy. I said, all right. So we went back. She said, for my privacy, I just want to pray. I said, well, okay, baby, go ahead and pray. So she bowed her head and she said, first things was, Lord Jesus, forgive me for every word time I'm wrong. Please forgive me, Lord. And she went on through a prayer and she said, I want to serve you. I want the Holy Ghost. And I know this is how to get it. She was like, that's what I want, Lord. And I want to just serve you all my days and give you my heart. She had me crying when her little eyes were full of tears. And all I could do was keep from just breaking down. And she said, what now, Daddy? I said, well, baby, it sounds to me like it's time to get baptized. So she's come tonight to take this second step in her Christian journey. Because she's going to walk on to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So if you will, just pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I so thank you for her little life. All my little girls are so special to me, Lord. And I see them, they're getting older now and they're starting to look to you in a more sincere and more serious way. It just makes my heart swell with pride, Lord. But now we've come to this part where the baby girl is fixing to be baptized. Lord Jesus, from this day on, from this moment on, I pray she doesn't live a second of her life without you a part of her life. May she always keep you close and her heart always be tender to the Holy Ghost and always be tender to what you would have for her. I pray your blessings upon her now, Lord. I thank you for it. Mother Leah, based on your confession, I baptize you, darling, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Just more good things off the wagon. Amen. God bless you, saints. I love you. Hope the service is a blessing to you tonight. Let's pray. You see, it won't be too much longer till the wagons will all unload. They'll unload the last sermon. Brother Darren had the last prayer line. Drive your last mile home from wherever. We'll put forth the last effort. You mothers, fathers, all of us together. The wagons will be totally unloaded. The goods will be departed. They'll be consumed. The purpose that they were designed for will be used. And when they're done with the gym, the wagons will be reloaded again. But this time, it's more precious cargo.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I just wish they'd pull out tonight, don't you? As far as for those of us that are ready. Oh my. God bless you. See you again this weekend. Let's sing it together as we go. I can almost see the lights of that city.
Yes, sir.
Sing it, right? Go in the fear of God.
Oh, I can almost see the lights of that city. I see them gathering all around the gray white throne. Through faith in my Savior and His wonderful love, oh, I can almost see the lights of home. Oh, I can almost see the lights of that city. I see them gathering all around the gray white throne. Savior and His wonderful love. Oh, I can almost see the lights of